This is a Project Humanoid production. Whammo.
Project Humanoid, this is Murder, my dude. I'm BP Bird.
And today I'm Jackson Wells.
And you're looking for a Reese's Cup.
I am not.
Oh.
I gave up.
You have. Today you have given up in your bid to find a Reese's Cup.
I did. I dropped the Reese's Cup and I let it go.
Like, was it a frozen Reese's Cup?
It wasn't. It was in a drawer.
Did you ever do that? I know some people do freezer candy bars.
I do. It's I actually like doing that with my Tasty Cakes because it helps prevent melting.
Melting. Do you ever do the thing where you like a butterscotch crimpet, you rub it on your shirt before you open it so the the icing doesn't peel off?
No, I don't think I have done that. It works. That's a good technique.
Yeah. I learned that, no joke.
Yeah.
In the Phillies clubhouse at Veterans Stadium.
No, and you also learned cancer there.
Yeah, I got brain cancer there.
Yeah.
This is our last episode. I have brain cancer.
Yeah. R.I.P.
R.I.P. me.
Yeah.
R.I.P. BPB.
Yeah, real name, Brian Paddington Burke.
Yes.
He was born and died under Halley's Comet.
I was not.
Oh.
I think that comes every 74 years.
74, 75, yeah, somewhere around there. It's Mark Twain, real name, Samuel Langhorne Clemens. He was born and died under Halley's Comet.
Hmm.
Did you know that?
I think I did.
Okay.
I think I did. Now I sound like the little engine.
I think I did. Yeah.
I'm going to will myself into knowing that if I didn't already.
Yeah, William.
Well, I know
you're
now.
William yourself.
I will will I am myself.
Right.
I'm going to be in the Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah.
You don't really hear about them anymore, do you?
Who cares? You're throwing these phrases around all William Nilliam.
Yes, William Nilliam.
Yeah.
Yeah. I give that name the respect it deserves.
That's right. So, well, this episode of Murder, My Dude is sponsored by Diet Mountain Dew.
No.
Diet Mountain Dew, my menin.
It should actually be, we should record a an Anchor ad. It should be sponsored by Anchor.
Yeah. Yeah,
that would be a good idea. We could actually.
We were supposed to do that a while ago.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we should probably do that at some point before we publish this episode.
We should dub it in Espanol.
Anchor.
Anchor. I don't know why they would laugh like that. I love the way that they act, though.
Oh, like telenovelas and
stuff?
Yeah,
it's just that over-the-top, weird, like, no!
Like, very melodramatic.
Yeah. It's awful. It's awful. Just like their music.
You don't like,
telenovela music?
Despacito? No. Oh, that's not a telenovela.
Oh, dude, no. No. I hate it, by the way. I just fucking hate that. I hate it. I'm an angry man.
Sometimes you are, yes.
I'm an angry man. Yeah, well, you know, I am. What are you going to do? Different strokes for different folks, as they say.
Yeah, they do say that.
Yeah.
And they say silver spoons under partial moons.
Right, and they say those are just the facts of life.
They do. Because you take the good.
Right.
You take the bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget the rest of the song.
And the ugly.
Yeah. And then you have a shootout.
Right. That only lasts about like 27 seconds
at
or
the,
so.
Eh,
okay, Corral.
Yeah.
Corral, yeah.
Corral.
Sorry, yeah, it's all right. You're all right, Corral. Why don't we, if I remember when me and Nate had Smoke Wagon?
Yes.
So we had his buddy Nate who died in my mind, in my heart.
Very much alive, I believe.
Not in my heart.
Oh.
And we hosted a show called Smoke Wagon. And we used to have this kind of like, what would our Western town be like if we, you know, build it? I would have that. I would have the All Right Corral. The Corral.
Yeah, why not? I like it. I don't like that the OK Corral was in Arizona either. Should have been Oklahoma.
Right. Should have been. Was Oklahoma a state then?
I don't know. Well, Arizona wasn't. Does it matter?
No, that's true.
Arizona was the 48th state. It was the last state. I think Arizona became a state in like the early 1900s.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it was the last state before Alaska and Hawaii.
Huh.
You learn things on this show.
Yeah.
I mean, you specifically, the audience may have already known that, but
I don't know shit. I still don't even know what Arizona is.
It's a state.
I thought it was a tea.
It's also a brand of iced tea.
So what came first, the state or the iced tea? Now I'm going to stump you on this one.
The iced tea?
No, the state did. See, I stumped you.
You got me. Yeah, Arizona became a state in...
Yesterday.
1912.
It was yesterday.
Before that, it was the Arizona Territory.
Before that, it was 1911.
Yes, right before that.
Yeah.
Well, before that, it was also 600, but that was way before.
Trying to count, but I don't have that many fingers. So let's move on to a little thing we like to call email. Sound like a seal that's having a stroke.
Yes.
You can email us at murdermydude@gmail.com. If you have any questions or comments or suggestions, we also have a website that you could buy t-shirts and sex workers. And that's t-shirts.
And what?
T-shirts.
And sex workers?
No, I said t-shirts. At projecthumanoid.com. That's project, humanoid.com.
H-U-M-A-N-O-I-D.
Okay. I've heard it both ways. We have an Instagram and a Facebook and a Truth Social.
Yes.
And we actually do. That's...
I have been slacking on keeping up with our Truth Social.
I don't think we're ever going
to. I'm waiting for my red hat check mark.
They do not have that. They have the blue.
I thought you said their check mark was red.
Oh, no, their check mark's red instead of blue. Right. They have the red check mark, I think. I'm pretty sure they do. But they don't have the red hat.
Damn it.
Which it's a missed opportunity.
If you're going to go, go all out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have your little red hat.
We're there. Where else? We're at Facebook at We Are Podcast, My Dude.
But if you search Murder My Dude, you'll find
Twitter, Conway Twitter. Yes. And so, yeah, I say M like I'm fucking Irish. Oh, wait, that's right. I am. Well, I'm American, but, you know, Irish by, what is it? American by birth, Irish by penis or whatever they say.
Something like that.
So, all right. So we got that out of the way. Now we're going to do a little jingly jingle for a little segment we like to call This Week Murder.
Hold up and don't read that headline because we do have to talk about something.
What?
Breaking news as we record this. We record these shows. They release midnight Friday. We record them usually on the Tuesday before. So as we record this, as I speak right now, it is 6:53 p.m. Tuesday, May 24th. May the 24th be with you.
Oh.
And the year 2022, just put a pin on it, because as we've learned, our shows can kind of gain popularity sometimes a year after they come out. We did about late May 2021, we did a whole episode about Candy Montgomery, and now it's like our biggest show ever.
Right.
But anyway, we have to talk about this because it did just happen today. So I'm just going to read it straight from NPR because I didn't prepare this, but we had another school shooting. The headline from NPR is a gunman. This is Vanessa Romo from NPR wrote this article. A gunman killed at least 14 children and a teacher at a Texas elementary school. Governor Greg Abbott told reporters that 15 people, including 14 children and one teacher, were killed in a school shooting at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas on Tuesday afternoon, which would be today. Speaking at a press conference in Abilene, Abbott said the suspected shooter is dead and identified him as an 18-year-old male who he said was reported to be attending Uvalde High School. The governor said it's believed that he abandoned his vehicle, the shooter, not the governor. Pronouns.
Pal.
Vanessa Romo.
Mm-hmm. Pal.
You can't trust a Romo in Texas to finish the job, can you? The governor said it's believed that the shooter abandoned his vehicle and entered into the Robb Elementary School with a handgun and maybe a rifle, but said this has not been confirmed. The suspect allegedly shot his grandmother before he entered the school where 600 students are enrolled. Uvalde Police Chief Pete Arredondo confirmed some of the details offered by Abbott at a brief news conference Tuesday afternoon. Arredondo called the bloodshed a mass casualty incident, but did not specify the number of dead. The chief also told reporters that the alleged gunman acted alone and is deceased. The suspect did act alone during his heinous crime, he said during the brief statement. Families are being notified and we are providing services to them. Officials at University Memorial Hospital in Uvalde confirmed two individuals were dead on arrival. They offered no additional details about the deceased. 13 children were transported to the hospital, two of whom have been transferred to facilities in San Antonio, more than 80 miles away. A 66-year-old woman and a 10-year-old girl were taken to University Hospital in San Antonio, according to local news stations. The hospital confirmed the 66-year-old is in critical condition. Uvalde Police Department officials initially said the suspected gunman was taken into custody at 1:06 p.m. local time. The shooting at the school where 600 students are enrolled began at 11:32 a.m., Uvalde Consolidated Independent School District officials said. All local schools went into lockdown as news of the active shooter spread. Multiple law enforcement agencies, including Border Patrol and officers from neighboring cities, have responded to the scene. Students and teachers were evacuated to the city's Civic Center, where parents are being told they can now pick up their children.
We used to have a Civic Center.
Yes.
Do you think that when the news people were trying to get a statement from the governor, they went, "Hey, yeah, bet!"
It's very possible. Lieutenant Governor Costello was not reached for comment.
Okay. Now we're going to get into a little segment we like to call This Week Murder! Hey, yeah, bet!
So yeah, now for the part of the show we prepared for. Go ahead.
Tampa area man kills terminally ill wife, stepdaughter, self in double murder suicide.
You ever notice it's always usually it's a double murder suicide. You very rarely see like a murder double suicide.
Yeah.
Well, I guess Columbine. Now we're talking about school shootings. Columbine was like a multiple murder.
What if
double
they were
suicide.
Twins or they had split personalities?
Well, I mean, then that would just be still one individual.
Yeah, but two personalities.
It's possible.
So what are you saying that, you know, we don't respect the other personality?
Well, the personality that's doing the shooting themselves would be committing suicide, but they would be murdering the other personality then, right? So if you have a lot of personalities, you could mass murder yourself, just be a mass murderer just by killing yourself.
Right. Yeah.
Food for thought.
Would you be a spree killer or a serial killer?
Spree killer. Serial killer, you have to have a cooling off period. You'd have to kill your personalities one at a time. Like over a period of time.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
What if you had it set on a timer?
How are you going to do this?
Kill each personality off one by one.
How do you do that? Do you have to be deeply hypnotized when you're in a motel with John Cusack?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, and that hefty gent.
Yeah, Pruitt Taylor Vince.
Yeah, that's it. So
anyway, what's our story here?
It's I already read it, but it's Tampa area man kills Tampa area man kills terminally ill wife, stepdaughter, self, and double murder suicide.
Tampa. Thomas Schultz, 64.
Yes, that's him.
Called 911 on May 18th.
And then he came and chokeslammed everyone.
Yeah, and that's how he died. The end. And now it's time to play Who Died the Worst, everybody. It's my favorite game and yours. It's not Who Died the Funniest. It's not Who Died the First.
There's actually more to this.
Oh. Yeah. So he called that number on May 18th, and he told them that he was, quote, in an impossible situation with no way out. He then informed the operator of his intent to commit suicide. Quote, I'm fixing to shoot myself, were the exact words of Schultz, a retired Air Force serviceman. I'm going to start using fixing more. I'm fixing to use the term fixing.
Yeah, fixing.
I'm fixing to do that. Police arrived to Schultz's Riverview, Florida home to find him dead on the back porch from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Inside the home, police found the bodies of Schultz's wife and stepdaughter, who had also been shot by Schultz.
But I think if you say it, you need, like... Like, you know, like, because Finna, you know, like, Finna is a new thing amongst, you know, the younger generation.
Yeah.
It's usually a black slang thing where they say Finna, so now, like, white kids are saying it, and Finna comes from fixin', mm-hmm. right? So, but if you're going to say I'm fixing to shoot myself, you should follow it up with, I reckon. You know?
Gosh dang it, you're right.
I do declare.
I do declare. Shot by Schultz is it's a tongue twister. It's very hard to say.
Shot by Schultz?
Yeah, I would have trouble saying that three times fast.
You have trouble saying it one time.
Shot by Schultz. Though their names are being withheld by the media, it's believed that both women were terminally ill and Schultz was acting as their caretaker. Their specific maladies are unknown, but Schultz's stepdaughter, who was in her mid-50s, was found in a hospital bed still connected to a feeding tube. Schultz's wife, who was in her 80s and also terminally ill, was also found dead in her bed.
Dead in her bed.
There's no such thing as an impossible situation, Hillsborough County, Florida Sheriff Chad Cronister told the media.
They have never seen me talk to certain girls.
There is always hope, and there is always help. This tragedy has occurred in the month of May, Mental Health Awareness Month. I am urging anyone in crisis to seek help. Cronister also mentioned that the 911 operator who took the call was having a hard time due to losing someone close to her to suicide recently.
Mm.
There was no history of violence with the family, and police had never been called to the house before. Troy Quinn, a neighbor, told the Tampa Bay Times that Schultz had talked to him about his struggles. He was saying it's kind of stressful, Quinn said, kind of getting overwhelming. I said, I'm here for you if you ever need to talk, and if there's anything I can do, let me know. He said he would. But then, obviously, as does happen, some people, it gets too much.
Yeah.
So that's story one.
And story two.
Well, actually, story three, because we had...
What?
We have another mass shooting story here, because I know there was going to be another one today. It's America, so I should have figured, oh, it's been about 10 days, there's probably going to be a mass shooting today.
Well, I mean, I didn't really consider that one a story as much as a live update, but fine. Story three, then, if that's what you want to do, is... Buffalo continues to reel after racially motivated mass shooting.
This is more last week in murder?
Last week murder!
Oh, I like it. It's a little different.
It's different.
Yeah. But we are a bi-weekly podcast. So this is really our first chance to take a deep dive on it. 10 people were killed and 3 more injured on the afternoon of May 14th in what U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland called, quote, an act of racially motivated violent extremism. That day, 18-year-old Peyton Gendron put into motion a plan that he had been working out over months prior.
Right.
He then invited 15 people to a private chat on Discord named Happening. This is not a drill. Around 2:30 that afternoon, Gendron, clad in tactical gear, not a deer. Maybe it was made of deer skin.
That would be weird to see a tactical deer. Just like a deer just try to cross the road, you know.
But very...
stealthy.
In a very deliberate way.
Yeah, wearing like a cute little deer helmet with like goggles.
It'd be adorable.
Yeah.
I want to see a tactical deer now.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
So anyway, Gendron was clad in tactical gear around 2:30 that afternoon and live-streamed himself on Twitch carrying out a mass shooting at Tops Supermarket, located in a predominantly...
So he's on Discord and Twitch?
Yes.
Okay, cool. He's... All right.
And he's telling everybody, like, comment, subscribe.
Right. That's
what you do now. You get everything. Like, comment, subscribe.
Right, yeah.
I'm taking a shit. Like, comment,
he's
subscribe my shit.
He's not going to be able to check his messages. I don't know if he knows this or not.
Well, he still wants to know that they're out there.
Sure.
That his fans are out there.
Right.
So he does carry out the shooting at Top Supermarket located in a predominantly black neighborhood of Buffalo, New York. Of the people attacked, 11 were black and 2 were white. It's believed that the attack was racially motivated.
Right.
4 victims were shot in the parking lot of the store. Gendron then entered the store where he shot a security guard who had confronted them. Gendron then continued to work his way through the store, according to Buffalo Police Commissioner Joseph Grimaglia. Gendron wrote a manifesto, which was accessed through Google Docs, which contained large passages of racist and anti-Semitic rhetoric, as well as support for the controversial idea of the Great Replacement, which has kind of been a big talking point since the shooting. The Great Replacement is a theory championed by many loud voices on the right, most famously Fox News's Tucker Carlson, that suggests a shadowy group, a cabal, if you will, whom Gendron believed to be Jewish, was conspiring to replace white Americans with non-white immigrants for the purpose of political gain.
Okay.
Gendron claimed to have been radicalized on controversial website 4chan.
I mean, is that really like a, like, is it, this is a thing that Tucker Carlson talks about?
He did bring up replacement. Yeah, basically.
Well, I mean, I don't see that as being a lie.
The lie comes in as some kind of orchestrated thing and not just something that's happened.
Right, right. That's, okay. Well, I mean, I think it does happen as so much as, like, when if you follow enough chat rooms and stuff like that, you do see that people are like, oh, I feel bad for these people, so I want them to have more of a chance, and then they kind of put them, but I see what you're saying. Like, it's just happening, as you know, just by chance or by whatever, as much as, yeah, it's not like a fucking Bilderberg group.
Yeah.
You know,
is going out and disappearing white people and replacing them with people from like fucking Nicaragua.
But I think that, I do think that there is some kind of thing happening. Like, you are seeing it in media. I've brought this up before. Like, you do see, like, if there are 14% black people in the United States and 50% or over 50% white people, but yet you look at commercials and there's like well over 80% black people in the commercials, it's like you would think, well, okay, I don't know if I brought this point up before on the show, but because I'm working on that other show, Flashback, I tend to notice this stuff, and it's like, huh, that's interesting. And it's like, well, they're trying to target, you know, people, and
yeah, the rule of thumb with advertising is the people in the ad are the people they're trying to sell the product to.
But like
they're trying to, that person in the ad is their target customer,
right? But
or an avatar of their target,
sure,
customer.
But when you do that, you do think like, huh, oh, that's weird. Like if you're an outsider, you know, looking in, you would think that, you know, this is representative of what that country is. So you're going to think that, oh, wow. And it's not really. You walk outside, you know, it's not what you see. So I don't think that the great replacement is a big thing, but I think it's starting to happen slowly. I mean, they say that like we're going, like
they used to call it the browning of America, that.
Sure.
That,
right.
That we were becoming more ethnically diverse.
Yeah,
and
ethnically diverse is not a problem.
Well, it is to some people.
No, it's not. It's not a problem. I think it is when you start to say that, like, this culture is bad or these things are inherently bad. You know what I mean? Like, oh, it's white. Oh, white equals boring, because that's what you'll hear a lot. Well, that's racist. You know what I mean? If you're going to say white is boring and you don't like this stuff and we should replace this because this is better. I mean, that's just. That's just your opinion, man.
It is their opinion, man.
You know what I mean? But like,
I do. Yeah.
I don't think that any kind of replacement either way is good. You know, like when you're like, oh, we want to, you know, like in 1940s, they're like, we want to wipe out the Jews. No, not a good thing.
Yes, not a good thing.
We want to wipe out black people. Nope, not a good thing.
Nope.
What do we, you know, want to replace white people with whatever, because not a good thing. I just don't like any of that. If it happens naturally, just, you know, whatever. You don't have to like it, but I don't think that if that's what Tucker Carlson's really fucking saying.
Well, I think that's what people are twisting Tucker Carlson. I don't know. I have happily never watched Tucker Carlson's fucking show, and I never will.
I well, neither.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. Is it possible that they're just twisting words or taking something out of context? Sure. Because people do that all the time on both sides. We know that. Yeah. But I do not fucking think that, that there is any kind of fucking shadowy Jewish group sitting in a boardroom trying to replace anybody.
Well, good, because that's exactly what they
want. God damn it, man. And really, this is, you're still picking on the fucking Jewish people? This really? You couldn't have found anybody else?
No, it's always going to be the Jews.
Really?
It's always going to be the Jews that are in the punching bag.
Come, it's so fucking, like...
It's like those fucking Quakers rule the world.
Seriously. The fucking Jewish people. That's who you're blaming?
Yeah.
Okay. The fuck out of here.
Gendron claimed to have been radicalized on the controversial website 4chan, which he claimed to have gotten into after being bored during the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic. Gendron's beliefs and ties to 4chan are similar to those of Brenton Tarrant, who killed and injured 40 at a mass shooting at a New Zealand mosque in 2019. There were warning signs before the attack. When finishing high school in the spring of 2021, Gendron and the rest of his graduating class were asked what their plans were, and Gendron said he wanted to commit a murder-suicide. He later claimed to be joking, but was placed into custody for 2 days for a psych evaluation, which produced no repercussions. New York does have red flag laws, which can force people determined to be a danger to others to surrender firearms. However, authorities opted not to use it on Gendron because his threat was vague and not directed at anyone specific. Gendron did hold a gun to his neck when police approached him after the shooting, but police convinced him to surrender instead of killing himself. He has been formally charged with first-degree murder. Gendron's teachers and classmates described him as smart, but quiet and a bit of an outcast. His behavior was erratic in recent years, including coming to school in a full hazmat suit during a post-pandemic reopening.
So, all right, everybody, I want you to know that if I die, it's because Brian Paddington Burke is smart, quiet, and a bit of an outcast.
Yeah, there you go. He was a quiet loner with a family and kids.
Yeah. Crazy shit.
Crazy shit.
Crazy shit. This is what happens, though, man, when people... You know, they stay inside their fucking room for too long. You know, they get these crazy fucking ideas. Or they play video games all the time. It's one or the other.
Yeah. I like the video games.
Yeah.
I stay off of the 4chan.
Right. It was like, I either play Stardew Valley or I mass murder a bunch of people. I don't know.
I wonder how many mass murderers play Stardew Valley. Like, Stardew Valley is a very chill game.
Wouldn't it be fucking weird as shit if they did?
It's like some kind of like what was that one they always said was like a CIA game, like Polybus or something? Like Stardew Valley is just somehow conditioning people to become mass murderers?
Let's get into conspiracy corner real quick.
Okay.
Excuse
me.
That's not how we get there.
I had to break down the door to conspiracy corner.
It's a very small plastic door.
It looks like a toothbrush.
So when I used to play SOCOM, I would say that I think that these games do make people violent, because there was that talk, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do video games make people violent? And I say yes. And you say, no, well, I'm not violent. But that's one of those fallacies where it's like, you know, but you're not representative of, you know, all these other people that get violent when they play it. Like, how many people would listen to Natural Born Killers by Dre and Ice Cube, right?
Mm-hmm.
And get fucking like pumped the fuck up? You know how many people get pumped up? They have that music. It's music that people start like listening to get pumped up to start lifting weights to. Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
How many songs have ever gotten you to the where you're like, fuck yeah, I'm going to fuck some shit up?
None.
Exactly my point.
Limp Bizkit had a song called
Break Stuff.
There are songs where like if it's an up-tempo song or something like that, and I'll like walk a little faster from listening to it, but... I'm going to walk fast.
Which, by the way, is not even a brisk walk.
No.
It's a Arizona walk.
Mm-hmm.
It's an iced tea joke. But so Limp Bizkit had Break Stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did that ever want to make you break stuff?
No. Because then you got to clean it up. And it might be stuff you want.
Lord knows you do not like to clean. I do not like to clean. But I get fucking violent. I will break shit. I will break shit. I will break the fucking shit out of shit. I love breaking stuff.
You do.
I do. I'm violent. I'm just violent.
You sound very proud of yourself.
I am. Why should I not be?
Violent and proud.
Why would I not be proud of being violent? For what reason?
The whole violence part.
What about it? Without violence, you don't have football. Without violence, you don't have UFC. You don't have wrestling.
So you listen to Break Stuff and like, get me a helmet. I'm going in the game.
No, because I don't play football. But I would like gladly fucking smash a guitar.
I have a guitar over there, but
I
might as well smash it. I haven't used it in like 10 years.
Well, they have those rooms. You know, they have those rooms.
Yeah, I've seen those, yeah.
Because people have aggression, dude. I'm aggressive as fuck.
You sound it.
Yeah! Yeah!
You're fixing the break stuff.
Yeah, I'm fixing it. I reckon.
I reckon you are.
Ain't that a pity?
It is.
So when I would play those games, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to snipe someone. You've never wanted to snipe anyone?
No.
See? That's the difference between me and you. I'm the type of guy that they fucking want, kind of.
Yeah.
They want my craziness. They want my, like, they want that guy that wants to go and shoot someone because he played this game. I honestly think that that's, I think that these are fucking designed. I think it's like, all right, you know, we'll get some, because there's a lot of people that I would see that plays like, I'm drawn in the military. Why? Because I had nothing else to live for, you know?
Yeah.
And so they play these games, they get used to it, now they want to go live out their fucking fantasies. You know, they start out in desert glory, and now they're, you know, in a glorious desert somewhere.
I like it.
That's what happens. They're out there, and, you know, it's all because they fucking started, you know, setting us up the bomb.
Maybe I'm going to become a farmer, because I play a lot of Stardew Valley.
Maybe.
This is making me want to farm.
Did it ever?
No.
This is, I think it's a you problem at this point.
It's a problem that you don't want to kill people.
No, or farm.
Or farmed.
I have farmed. Ish.
Farmish.
I planted tomatoes in the yard, remember?
Yeah. Yeah, I've had to pull the weeds every year ever since.
Yeah, well, ever since. Yeah. But, you know, remember when we were growing them and then they were going into the lady's yard and she was bitching?
Yes.
And then her husband died?
Yes. And then she thought your ex was my mom and said, is that your mom?
Right.
Her tomatoes are growing over my into my yard.
Yeah.
And yes, my mom is several years younger than me.
Right. Yeah, fucking lady's a dummy.
I look young.
But you do. You have that cherub fucking baby face.
I'm 64 years old.
Here, this is a fact, okay? This is true. They used his life cast face for the mask in the movie Valentine.
They did not.
With this is David Boreanaz.
This is not something that really happened.
Mm. We're going to have to agree to disagree.
I am not Cupid.
We're going to have to agree to disagree.
I do not have wings, and I do not shoot people with arrows and make them fall in love with other people. What the hell are you doing?
Making noises.
Why?
Because you have wings of a butterfly.
Oh. Is that Morse code?
Yeah. It means...
I think he just launched a nuke.
In Desert Glory.
Well, they had nukes.
I'm just saying...
That's going to kill the hostages.
I'm just saying, dude, that I think that that's what they were doing. I think that they were...
I think they were trying to make money by selling a video game.
You see, that's what they want you to think. And that's, you're like, oh, Occam's Razor, man. Occam's... It's so boring. I think that there's a happy medium, and the happy medium is... One, yeah, we can fucking sell video games. Two, the CIA is fucking getting these people. They're finding out who's, you know, like, who's good at these fucking things. And
this was the plot of a book, by the way.
Because it's fucking, it's simple. It's easy. It's just, it's common sense.
There is a book. It was the guy who wrote Ready Player One. It was his follow-up book. It was called Armada. And it was about this video game that is out for years and years and years, where it's like a space shooter video game. And basically...
Space shooter Frank Hickey.
Yes. And it's a game where you're basically... The game was essentially trying to train people to fly these drones in a real war against real aliens.
Mm. Hmm.
I think Armada may have been the name of the game in the book.
Right.
But yeah, that was the premise of it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like...
I mean, Toys was kind of like... that. The movie Toys with Robin Williams, that was kind of the premise. Like, this guy wanted to make war toys, but then the war toys are really to train soldiers.
Right.
I mean, yeah, G.I. Joe, like, all that's fucking propaganda.
Well, that's exactly what it is. It's propaganda. I mean, they're getting these kids... It's like, yeah, not only are they just attracting, but they know that it's, you know...
I mean, there was actually like a literal series. I think it was called like America's Army, that was sponsored by the U.S. Army.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
wasn't as good as Call of Duty.
Like, but they want people to do that because, you know, it's you're patriotic. You're gonna do something. I think that it's always been that way. I don't think it's just to fucking make money.
Well, yeah, the money helps, though.
Of course, the money helps.
America's Army didn't sell that well.
No.
Anyway. That's This Week in Murder.
Conspiracy Corner.
And Conspiracy Corner. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back to talk about The Lacey Peterson case.
Lacey Peterson. Whammo. Well, I still haven't found my Reese Peterson.
Isn't that the actress who's in like Legally Blonde? What? That's Reese Witherspoon.
Daughter of John Witherspoon. No, I haven't found my Reese's cup yet. Still haven't found it.
Well, it's hers.
Does belong to Reese.
Yes. That's an apostrophe. That indicates possession.
Right.
So.
R.I.P. Mitch Hedberg.
Yes. The earlier half of the 2000s was a peak time for what social scientists have dubbed the missing white woman syndrome. I think that was actually a news anchor that they called it that. Gwen Ifill, I believe her name is. She worked for PBS.
Mm-hmm.
The term refers to the inordinate amount of media coverage that is given to missing persons cases where the person who has gone missing is, as the name suggests, a white woman,
mm-hmm.
Which tells part of the story.
Right.
The missing person is generally affluent or works in a high-status job. The latter was prominent in the case of Chandra Levy.
I remember Chandra Levy, of course.
She worked as an intern for and was having an affair with U.S. Congressman Gary Condit when she went missing, and she was later found murdered in 2001.
Mm.
But perhaps the case that garnered the most attention of all happened the next year, at the end of 2002.
Can't believe it's been 20 years already.
Yeah, I know. It's nuts. When Lacey Peterson, a 27-year-old substitute teacher from Modesto, California, who was 8 months pregnant at the time, went missing. Born Lacey, and I'm probably going to say this wrong, I think it's Rocha, not Roca. I believe it's Rocha.
Mm-hmm.
She spent her childhood working on her family's dairy farm in Escalon, California. She met and was quickly smitten with Scott Peterson in 1994 while she attended California Polytechnic State University. The meeting happened at a cafe where Scott and one of Lacey's friends worked. Lacey gave Scott her phone number and told her mother that day that she'd met the man she would marry, which wound up being true.
Now, I wouldn't be me if I didn't do this. Where did she go to school?
California Polytechnic State University.
Why are you saying polytechnic?
Polytechnic?
Yeah, that's how I've always heard it.
Yeah, okay, Cal Poly, yeah.
Yeah, I've always heard of Poly, not Paula. But hey, if that's what it is and I'm wrong, let us know. murdermydude@gmail.com.
Let us know on our preferred social network, Truth Social.
Right, yeah. And on Pedantic, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
So. Scott Peterson aspired to be a professional golfer, but put those plans aside to focus on a more lucrative and practical career in business once things with Lacey turned serious. The two opened a sports bar in San Luis Obispo called The Shack, but sold it a few years and bought a home in Modesto with plans on starting a family. Lacey worked occasionally as a substitute teacher while Scott worked in sales for a fertilizer company. The couple's dreams of starting a family were on their way to being realized when Lacey became pregnant in the spring of 2002.
Okay.
But while things on the surface look great, things aren't always what they seem, and oftentimes they're not. Scott Peterson had an affair early on in their relationship with a college classmate and may have had a few other affairs along the way. What is certain is that while Lacey was carrying the couple's child, Scott had a six-week affair with Amber Frey, a massage therapist and single mother who had been set up by a friend Scott had met at a business conference. At the time, Frey. Yeah. At the time,
I mean, maybe it's pronounced Fry, but
no, it's Frey. Yeah,
I've always heard it Frey. So.
Yeah, it's Frey.
Okay.
At the time, Frey had no idea that Scott was married, and on Christmas Eve of 2002. Police in Modesto received a call from Scott Peterson reporting Lacey missing. According to Scott's story, he had last seen Lacey mopping and planning to walk the family dog around 9:30 that morning. She was well into her pregnancy at this time, and I guess that was how she would get exercise, by walking the dog. Neighbors had found the dog wandering around the front of the house alone later that day. Scott returned from his fishing expedition around 5:15 that afternoon, having gone 90 miles from Modesto to the Berkeley Marina on the San Francisco Bay. Scott met with police at a local park, the same park where Lacey was purported to have gone missing when she went to walk the dog. As always, when someone goes missing and foul play is suspected, police wanted to immediately gauge their level of suspicion with the person closest to them, in this case, the husband, Scott Peterson. Scott did allow police to search the home, but he refused a lie detector test, and he didn't show the usual concern or ask the typical questions of a husband whose wife was inexplicably missing. And this is one of those cases where everybody was like, yeah, he seemed a little off. He was, like, very laughing, joking, didn't really seem too really worried about where his wife was.
Yeah, I mean, that should be a fucking tip right there.
Yeah.
I don't know about a dead giveaway, but...
His major concerns were not Lacey, one of the detectives on the case told People magazine several years later. His major concerns were the car door hitting his other car door in the driveway, or me taking a picture of his boat in a shop, or getting a receipt for the pink slipper and sunglasses the tracking dog people used for Lacey's scent.
Mm.
Police executed a search warrant on the Peterson home on December 26th and did their first canvas of Berkeley Harbor 2 days later. No one seemed to have even known that Scott owned a boat, let alone that he had bought a fishing license. He hadn't had a fishing license, a full-fledged fishing license, which is another hard thing to say fast. Full-fledged fishing license. He hadn't had one of those since 1994. Even now...
Full-fledged fishing license. Yeah, I guess full-fledged fishing license. Full-fledged fishing license. I guess the fishing part is what... Even though it's the easiest one, full-fledged fishing license. Full-fledged fishing license. Full-fledged fishing license. Yeah, because I'm going to say flishing.
Flishing license, yeah. And he had only bought a two-day fishing license on December 20th that was good for the 23rd and the 24th. Scott told police that his main goal was testing out the boat as it was going to be a gift for Lacey's stepfather.
Oh, by the way, one more thing. Mm-hmm. As of this recording, yesterday was my birthday.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. You just said the 23rd, and I thought we were recording this on the 24th.
Yes, we are.
And yesterday was my birthday. So happy birthday to me, Jackson Wells. I also share the same birthday as another handsome guy.
Who's that?
I don't know.
Oh, just some random handsome guy.
Yeah.
So that same day that Scott obtained the temporary license, which was December 20th, 2002... That was the same day he dropped a bombshell on his unwitting paramour, Amber Frey. Scott told Amber that he had lied to her when he said he had never been married. Mm. He had, in fact, had a wife, he told Amber, but he had lost her. In fact, this upcoming Christmas would be the first one without her. Eventually, Amber caught wind of the case, which was gaining steam in local news, even national news. Amber did live a bit south of Modesto. She lived in Fresno, California. Eventually, Amber found out about Lacey's disappearance and called police to see if her Scott Peterson was the same Scott Peterson with a missing wife. And he was.
Mm.
Amber's first call didn't merit an immediate response. He had like a tip line set up because the case did kind of, it was big news. If you're one of our younger listeners.
I'm older than you by a few years.
You're probably one of our oldest listeners.
Probably one of the oldest listeners, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't sound it.
If you're... Jackson Wells is 85 years old.
I'm not 85, but I am.
You just had a birthday. You're 86. I'm sorry. I forgot about your birthday.
I am a ripe, young, fresh 42.
That's the answer to the life, the universe, and everything.
I know.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
It is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So...
Also the number of Jackie Robinson, my favorite baseball player.
He is?
Yeah.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Because I...
Do you know who he played for?
Yeah.
Who?
The Dodgers.
Oh, very good.
Everybody knows that, too.
But do you know what position he played?
Shortstop.
I don't believe he did. I believe he was an outfielder.
Oh.
I could be wrong, because I don't know that either.
Yeah.
He's also not my favorite baseball player.
Yeah, well, he was in the band The Outfield. He sang Your Love.
He did. He got me there.
Yeah.
All right, fine. You love Jackie Robinson.
A big fan.
He was a second baseman. Second baseman, first baseman, infielder. I am wrong. Maybe you are a big Jackie Robinson fan.
He was played by my boy, Chadwick Boseman.
His number has been retired by all major league.
I think that's
teams. Actually
cool. I think they should do that. All 23 should be retired.
Yeah, people were
for King James.
He wore Sixer a little bit too.
Retired the Sixers.
Yeah, you might as well. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Should football retire 12 for Tom Brady?
Randall Cunningham.
Okay. No, the two that I think, okay, you can make that argument is, yeah, they should retire maybe 23 in basketball and 99 in hockey. Those would be the ones who are like, okay, I can get behind that. Anyway, that has nothing to do with...
That's neither here nor there.
It's there.
Where?
In the segue we just did. Huh. Or the non sequitur, I guess it would be.
Hmm. And in sports.
And in sports. Eventually, Amber did find out about the case. What I was getting at there is, if you're one of our younger listeners, if you're like in your 20s, yeah, and this happened when you were a little kid, mm-hmm, you don't understand how big of a news story this was. Like early 2000, late 2002,
well, when this
2003,
happened, I was 22.
You were?
Yeah. I was 22 when this happened, and yeah, it took over everything.
The two big stories in early 2003 were Lacey Peterson and are we going to war in Iraq? Those were the two big stories.
Well, I knew I wasn't, because yeah, I have flat feet.
Well, I mean, was the United States as a whole going to war in Iraq?
Oh.
So, yeah, huge, huge news. And they set up a tip line, and two people in the Modesto police that worked for Modesto police worked on the tip line. Amber's first call didn't merit an immediate response, but she called back the next day. And a police officer who was working with the two station assistants who were working the tip line overheard the call and was like, put me on with her. And police were intrigued by what she was saying and invited her to come in, because they all had a feeling at this point, something's up with Scott Peterson. We don't know what it is, but he was, as the kids say now, he was sus. He was a little sus. And so they bring in Amber Frey, and while they're meeting with her for the first time, Scott Peterson calls her while she's in the police station.
And did you ask because of Glenn? Isn't it Glenn Frey?
Yeah, he was in the Eagles.
Right. And Frey, isn't it?
No, I think it's Frey, actually. Might be Frey. I think
it's Glenn Frey.
But I think it's spelled
Frey. Yeah, but I believe it's pronounced Glenn Frey.
Yeah, I believe it's Amber Frey. We'll just call her Amber.
Right, Amps. Amber Lamps.
Call Amber Lamps. Well, Scott called Amber Lamps.
Mm-hmm.
And literally had a conversation with her while she was with the police. And the police were like, holy shit. And so at this point, Scott had told Amber previously that he was going away to Europe on business for a while. The police knew he had never left Modesto. And he'd even called Amber from a payphone outside LAX airport while he was leaving, so the number there would show up on the caller ID to solve the lie.
Hmm.
So basically what they do is they have Amber start working with the police. They have her record calls. In fact, I think that's when he called us. They were showing her how to work this recorder they wanted to attach to her cell phone. Because remember, 2002, cell phones are not new, but they're not as ubiquitous as they are now.
No, they're like Nokia cell phones at that point.
Yeah.
You know?
Singular was still around.
Singular wireless, yeah. Well, Singular was the... Nokia was the phone.
Nokia is the maker of the phone. Yeah,
right,
like the
and Singular is the...
The carrier.
The carrier.
Yeah, like Qualcomm back then.
I don't know that one. But I had Singular. I had Nokia and Singular. So you can Qualcomm your titties with that one.
I will Qualcomm my titties.
All right.
Yeah, Singular, I believe, bought AT&T, but then just changed their name to AT&T.
Right.
I think it was that. Yeah, because then Nextel bought Sprint and changed their name to Sprint. And then T-Mobile bought Sprint, so Sprint's not around anymore. Why are you doing the Hannibal Lecter thing?
I don't know. No reason.
So, at one point on New Year's Eve, Scott called Amber pretending to be near the Eiffel Tower because he told her he was in France.
Oh, yeah.
It was early in the evening, but it was midnight in Paris, your favorite movie.
I'm by the Eiffel Tower, and a car just pulled up with Cole Porter.
There you go. Get in, Scott.
Oh, hey, I gotta go. Zelda and F. Scott are here.
So what if he did that and he goes back in time and he gets killed in the past? Does that mean Lacey Peterson would come back to life?
No. It's
like a different universe.
Yeah, right? maybe it also like sets you in a like an alternate reality. Like it splits the timeline.
Yeah.
And you're dead in that one. You know, maybe that's how life really is. You ever think of that? Maybe you've died in real life in one thing, but you just wake up like nothing happened, and because it just split time, but there's like a billion
That's that one theory that, like, every possibility happens and there's a infinite number of universes.
I like that one. Let's go with that one.
Yeah, but then you're... Why did I get the bad luck to be in this one? So anyway...
It's up to you to make it better.
But no, that's up to... That's what me and the other universe is doing. They're making it better.
No. You are making it better.
They're all me. This is just the me I have.
Well, that stuff's all in the past. You like that didn't happen yet. That good universe stuff only happens when
No, it happens. It all depends on what universe you're in.
Oh, so you think they happen concurrently?
That's the idea.
I'm saying that it just splits, like it just like it's like a trail behind you. Do you ever see those filters where like people be running, they jump, and then it's just like a bunch of like them behind them, like a trail of them?
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that life could be like that, where like there's just one thing and it's going forward, and there's all these like it's like a trail, but in the trail maybe there was a you that died, maybe you had a heart attack last year, you know, but like you woke up in the next day and you know, here, and it's like, well then why do you exist? Because you're a fucking soul exist.
Where did that come from?
Some existential shit, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
All right.
So when Scott is acting like he's at the Eiffel Tower and they're ringing in the new year, he isn't a crowd. He is actually at a vigil for Lacey, and raised some suspicion from Lacey's family and law enforcement alike by not joining her other loved ones on stage. Because he's too busy on the phone with his mistress pretending to be in Paris. Huh. Yeah.
I'm with Zelda Fitzgerald in a threesome.
And police now wondered if he was trying to keep a low profile to keep the ruse going with Amber. Scott would also quiz Amber on local news, basically just seeing if she was paying attention to the papers.
Right.
And eventually he did confess that the missing pregnant woman with the 1,000-watt smile that was all over TV was his wife. And it did lead to an argument. So she, basically, like, I watch a thing where they play tapes of these, and it's just him trying to do, like, that semantics argument, like, well, technically I said this. Because she's like, you said your wife was dead. She's like, no, I said I lost my wife. That can mean a lot of things.
Well, oh my God. What a douchebag.
Yeah. But Amber kept the phone conversations going in the hopes that Scott might give police a much-needed break in the case.
I mean, it's kind of funny, though.
It's like, yeah. It's
well,
like,
actually.
Well, actually, I just said I lost her. I didn't say she died.
Yeah.
Investigators...
It's kind of like, I lost my wife. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Never mind, there she is. I couldn't find her. She was in the candle section.
You can't find anything in these IKEAs.
Yeah, damn.
Did you hear about what happened where somebody, I think this is real, this might be an urban legend, I could be wrong about this, but I guess somebody used, like, moved those social distancing arrows. Remember those in the pandemic? Like, you have to go, this is like an up aisle, you have to follow the arrows. Apparently,
oh, dude, those arrows were there way before social distancing.
Yeah.
They have them on the... No, they literally had the arrows in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened? Did somebody set them the
somebody
wrong way?
Somebody at IKEA moved them around so they could... They made it like an inescapable labyrinth. Like, if you follow the arrows, you could never get out of IKEA.
Yeah, because we don't know what an exit sign is.
So anyway, investigators were close to a break.
Imagine there was somebody that dumb that just kept walking around. When does it stop?
These arrows don't lead to an exit.
Yeah.
Investigators were close. I remember when the pandemic did first start, real quick. I remember being at Giant, which is a local supermarket, and they had the thing here. You had to go down this aisle, and to check out, you had to go down to the final aisle was dairy. You had to go up, and they would wave you to a checkout line. I remember some guy coming in. This is just like the pandemic was brand new. I think it was when they first wanted you to start wearing masks.
Right, it was. Yeah.
And this guy was
Because hold on. Because I remember over the fucking loudspeakers, they were playing like this robotic voice, like, and it was like, oh my God, this is some futuristic fucking, like, end of the world shit. Like, where the robots are going to come to the fucking front of the line and, you know, like, shoot fucking red lasers at you if you don't follow, like, 6 feet. Like, you are not standing, you know, just
exterminate.
Like, I was scared when I heard that robot. I'm not joking.
Well, they do have a robot in Giant. Marty,
yeah.
Yeah, maybe Marty could be a Dalek. That would be great. I want you to be one of the Giant. Marty was a Dalek. That would be great.
If they dressed
they
them up
do that
as
for Halloween.
For Halloween. I was going to say that. Or like April Fool's Day.
That would be amazing.
Oh, man.
Oh, now I really want Marty the Dalek.
Marty the Dalek. Yeah.
But I remember there's this guy, because I was in line, and there's this guy, like, behind it, and he was like, they were trying to tell him, like, no, you have to go down that aisle and go around to this aisle and come. He's like, oh, forget it. He, like, put whatever he wanted down and left the store in a huff.
Because he had to follow some fucking...
Like, this is ridiculous. Yeah. And he put the thing down and like, I'm leaving.
Yeah, I'll go to Walmart.
You're going to have to do the same fucking thing.
Yeah, I mean, that didn't last long.
No.
Literally, just a few weeks, those arrows, because nobody was following it.
Yeah.
I didn't follow it. I was like, stop it. This is goofy. You know what I mean? Like, they weren't really enforcing it, because...
They were at that giant. Like, they wouldn't check you out if you didn't go down to the one aisle and...
Really?
Yeah.
Which one?
The one that closed.
Oh, okay, because the other one is the one that I would go to.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember those arrows, and they were just like, oh, we can't enforce it. We can't tell people to wear their masks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, you can. Just like no shoes, no shirt, no service.
Yeah.
You reserve the right in your store to do that, but they didn't want to. Yeah, that's right. All there is to it. Anyway. Marty the Dalek. Okay, let's go back to the story.
So... investigators were close to a break in the case, but it wasn't the investigators for the Modesto Police Department. It was the tabloid media. The police caught wind of the National Enquirer finding out about Scott and Amber's affair, and they knew they were ready to publish. So that's when Amber Frey beat them to the punch in a press conference of her own, where she was held by the police department, and she admitted to the affair. She also maintained that she had no idea that Scott Peterson was married at the time.
Mm.
Shockingly, after this press conference where she's like, I had an affair with Scott Peterson, a romantic affair. I did not know he was married. Who's the first person that calls her after the press conference? Scott Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
And he called her and praised her for her composure and bravery at the press conference. Growing stressed, Amber decided that the two should cut off contact until everything was settled, and Scott agreed. Scott Peterson took to the media soon after Amber's press conference, claiming that Lacey knew about the affair, was upset with him, but that, quote, it wasn't anything that would break us apart. And they were already kind of strained, but once the affair came out and was public knowledge, relations between Scott and the Rocha family hit rock bottom after this. They claimed on February 5th, 2003, that Scott sold Lacey's car and had broached the subject of selling the house as well. So basically, from the beginning, he was kind of acting like she's not coming back. The case hit a lull, however, until April 13th, 2003, when a couple walking their dog found a partially decomposed late-term fetus, its head encircled by a loop and a half of nylon tape over the mouth, and the umbilical cord still attached. The next day, about a mile away, someone found a badly decomposed female body missing its head and parts of its limbs. And they kind of knew, like, okay, this is where we were looking. We found the fetus, and then we found a dead woman. We're doing the DNA test, but we kind of know. And a few days later, DNA testing did determine that the bodies were those of Lacey Peterson and her unborn son. The advanced state of decomposition made an autopsy on Lacey rough, but they did find she had two cracked ribs. It was unclear whether or not that occurred before her or after her death. Their best theory on how she died was possibly that she was smothered in her bed or something like that. Some kind of like smothering or strangulation or something like that. But something where like with the two cracked ribs, they're thinking that the killer may have like put a knee on her chest and then held a pillow down over her face or something like that.
Like Chris Benoit.
Yes.
Style.
After the discovery of the body, police began surveillance on Scott Peterson, which he was seemingly aware of. He began driving erratically, likely in an attempt to lose police. And they're worried that, like, this guy's going to cause a car accident with the way he's driving because he knows we're following him. So they make the decision, okay, we're going to arrest him. Because they still didn't have a whole lot of physical evidence. Scott was taken into custody at a golf course in La Jolla, California, where he had went to play a game with his brother and father. In his car, which Scott's father claimed Scott was living out of to avoid media attention, police found almost $15,000 in cash, survival gear, two driver's licenses, Scott's license and his brother's license, four cell phones. Scott had also, like, dyed his hair a really, really deep, like, almost like an orangey blonde, and he had, like, a blonde goatee, too. Police suspected he was planning to flee to Mexico, which is why they were kind of keeping tabs on him. At this point, it would be safe to say that Scott Peterson was the most hated man in America, and he and his family enlisted the help of famed defense attorney Mark Garagos, who had represented the likes of Gary Condit, we talked about him earlier, Roger Clinton, Winona Ryder, Michael Jackson, and Sean Combs, among others. Garagos pointed the fact that the case against Peterson was almost entirely built on circumstantial evidence. They didn't have any forensic evidence or no witnesses of any kind. They said, okay, so this woman was killed and her head was removed and she was transported 90 miles away, put on a boat and thrown overboard, and no witnesses and no evidence of her being any of these places, but until they found the body.
Right.
He also argued, Gergos argued, to move the trial away from Modesto, arguing there was no way for Scott to receive a fair trial there. So
I was going to say that, and that guy, there was an island named after him. It's where the Philly Fanatic is from.
Galapagos. That's the Galapagos Islands, not Garagos.
I get my Greeks mixed up.
You get a lot of things mixed up.
Huh.
Judges agreed, and they moved the trial 90 miles away to San Mateo County. Garagos also tried to poke holes in the defense's theory that Peterson used four concrete anchors to weigh lace. Hey, anchor! The easiest way to podcast.
And I have one on my arm.
You do. So they did try to poke holes in the theory that Peterson used four anchors to weigh Lacey's body down as he threw her overboard into the Berkeley Bay. They videotaped attempts to do this from a similar boat, and they found that the boat capsized every time they tried to do so. The video was deemed unscientific and was not allowed in the evidence. Further defense threw in the question whether or not police reported the smell of bleach when they entered the Peterson home. Their housekeeper reported cleaning the floors in the Peterson home with a cleaner similar to Pine Sol on the 22nd before Lace's disappearance. So if the cops did smell bleach when they came in, it was suggested someone else had cleaned the home after if it were present. So if there really was a bleach smell, it was an indicator that Scott Peterson may have killed his wife and then used bleach to help clean up the crime scene. Garagos also introduced the idea of a robbery across the street being tied to Lacey's murder. Police insisted that the robbery happened on the 26th, which is what the confessed robber said. A witness for the defense claims to have watched the robbery on the 24th, the day Lacey was reported missing. The turning point of the trial, because early on, it did really seem like Scott Peterson might get away with this, or maybe he was innocent, who knows. But it looked like a not guilty verdict was probably going to happen until the testimony of Susan Frey, who outlined Scott's lies. They played 12 hours of calls between Scott and Susan for the jury. A jury, it must be said, that was riddled with controversy. And over the case, three jurors were removed, one for talking to Lacey Peterson's brother, one was removed for doing outside research on the internet. The jurors weren't sequestered, but she found out, like, this one juror, it's like, I read this on the online, and you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to read outside stuff about the case. And then the foreman of the jury quit during deliberations due to disagreements with the other 11 jurors. The defense was also rocked by the poor performance of an expert witness who claimed that the unborn child could not have died any earlier than December 29th, but later admitted that he was using hearsay to determine that and asked the cross-examining prosecutor to, quote, cut me some slack. After 5 months and hundreds of witnesses, followed by marathon deliberations, Scott Peterson was found guilty of first-degree murder in Lacey's death and second-degree murder in the death of their unborn child. And that actually did produce a law now where if you commit a crime against a pregnant woman, I think it's particularly murder, you're also charged for the murder of the unborn child.
Oh, wow.
Which, hey, I mean, we're headed toward, like, Roe v. Wade being overturned in the near future, so... Yeah. Good. Then they can start getting, like, you know, child support payments and things like that before the baby's born, and you can start getting tax exemptions before the baby's born and different things like that. So that was 2004. The case has gotten new life lately, as Peterson seems to be getting closer and closer to possibly being granted a new trial. And the appeal centers on Rochelle Nice, who is only identified in case records as juror number 7. And she was known in the press as Strawberry Shortcake because she had very bright dyed red hair during the trial.
I just ate one.
And Peterson's defense argues that Nice lied about her history with domestic violence in order to get on the jury, specifically to convict Scott Peterson, robbing him of his right to a fair trial. It's come out that she was an alternate. I think she was the last alternate that came in when the foreman quit. And she comes into the jurors' room and says, I think we should fry him, basically. Or he's guilty, let's fry him, or something like that.
Oh, shit.
Or fray him. I don't know which one
fray him. Fray him.
So, yes, I guess she had, like, a protection order, and, like, she was she had an abusive boyfriend, and, like, their argument is she just had it out for Scott Peterson and specifically lied about things to get on the jury so she could get him convicted.
Mm.
Peterson had already scored a legal victory in September 2021 when his death sentence was reduced to life without parole. California has very famously for a long time, I think ever since Gavin Newsom's been governor at the very least, had a moratorium on death sentences, kind of like Pennsylvania does now, where the governor is against the death penalty and will not sign any executions, will not sign any death warrants. And I think there is a motion to just completely overturn the death penalty in California. As far as a new trial for Scott Peterson, a submission will be entered to the California Superior Court in June with a decision on whether or not a new trial is granted coming at an undetermined point after that. I know that the Lacey's family has said they're kind of coming to terms with he might get another trial. And Amber Frey has already said, I will testify again. And yeah, that's the story of Scott Peterson. They made a lot of TV movies. I think Dean Cain played him in one, if I'm remembering.
He did, yeah. Yeah, he did.
So yeah, that's the story. And yeah, that was a huge one. That was a huge one back in the day. It was as popular of a story now as this game is popular, as big of a story then as this game is popular now.
Yeah, this is a very, very popular game that I love. It's my favorite game to play. I always stick around with this and don't try to run them out.
It's time for another game of Who Died the Worst.
That's right, Jackson Wells. It's not just your favorite game. It's everyone's favorite game. Who Died the Worst?
He caught me.
It's not Who Died the Funniest. It's not Who Died the First. The name of the game is Who Died the Worst.
Yeah.
I'm going to give Jackson Wells over here three deaths.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to tell me which of these three people died the worst.
Hopefully me. I tried to get away, but he...
You tried to jump out a window.
He stopped me, so...
You tried to jump out a window and
he thinks... He calls himself a hero.
But I had never called myself
a
hero.
He goes, hey, everyone outside, look, I'm a hero. I stopped him. I think this is torture. I think he's holding me against my will. But
you helped me against my will at Uncle Moose's murder cabin many, many seasons ago.
No, I did not. That's a lie.
But yeah, I had a feeling you're going to escape. You had $15,000 in cash. You had 2 driver's licenses, 4
what
cell phones.
What am I, fucking D.B. Cooper?
No, you're Scott Peterson.
No. Oh, that's right. I'm Scott Peterson. Yeah.
So. You dyed your hair blonde and your beard blonde.
I did dye my hair. I did dye my hair blonde about 2002.
Yeah, you wanted to look like Scott Peterson. I remember.
I bleached it. No, I didn't.
I want to look like that guy that killed his wife.
I wanted to look like a mix between Eminem and Lance Bass and John Candy.
As one often does.
Right. Bass Candy.
Love Bass Candy.
M&M's.
Bass Candy flavored M&M's.
Right, yeah. All right.
Oh, so anyway, so these are all aquatic themed deaths.
Oh, aquatic because she drowned. I gotcha.
No, she was dead before he put her in the water,
well,
most
that's
likely.
Right, yeah.
If he did it, which he probably did. Who else would have? He just happened to go to the place 90 miles away where she was found. It's one of those things where he probably did it. I wonder if they had enough evidence to convict him.
Yeah.
But he probably did it.
Right, yeah.
So so death number one takes us to Majoraca.
I love going there.
And it's a very famous tourist thing where, like, there's...
I remember the Majorca Mole. That was a
That's
good...
Morocco Mole. I loved Morocco Mole. I remember the one episode I always remember is he took over, like, as the administrator for the police station, and he was changing their filing system, and it was, like, whatever their name was, it's like, just say that the criminal's name was, like, Peter Pumpernickel.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, he is under P for Peter Pumpernickel. I'm going to file him under C for criminal. So, like, everybody was refiled under C for criminal. So, our victim in the first death here is Murad Lambarat.
Okay.
Who was a Dutch former professional soccer player. And in Majorca, like, there's this watery area where, like, boats go through. Like, I don't know if it's a bay or something like that, or a lake or something. But
yeah, isn't that the guy that who's that Indian wrestler? He always comes in, he calls him the modern day
Maharaja. Jinder Mahal.
Oh,
not
that. Oh, all right. I know what it is. It's the thing where you're in the desert and you start seeing stuff because
that's
you're
a mirage.
So it's that when you lay on the table and you know the lady rubs you.
It's a massage. So yeah,
I really don't get anything right.
You don't. You get everything wrong all the time. So the tourist is
it's a Jewish book, or
the Torah.
That's what you do when you go to like Yingling.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Yeah, that's a tourist. The tourist takes a tourist. It's exactly what happens.
I feel like you're just attacking me now.
I'm not. Okay. Just pay no attention to the knife behind my back with a brown handle.
It did have a brown handle.
So, what this gentleman did is there are these cliffs by the body of water, and as boats sail along, people will usually jump off these cliffs. They're like 100 feet high, and people will cliff dive there. And so that's what this gentleman tried to do, and his family is on the boat, passing by, taking a video of him. As he takes a running start, leaps off the cliff, lets out this big scream, but he doesn't quite clear the rocks at the bottom of the cliff.
Mm.
He hits the rocks and falls into the water. However, an autopsy determined that he didn't die on impact. He was knocked unconscious, fell into the water, and drowned.
Mm.
So death number one is going cliff diving, not clearing the rocks, being knocked out from hitting the rocks, falling into the water, and drowning.
Okay.
That's death number one.
Death number one.
Death number two is also a drowning death, and it's the death of Anthony Hensley, son of Hunter Hearst Hensley.
Right, yeah.
And Sherman Hensley, right, is his grandfather.
Yeah.
So
did you run out of...
Yeah.
Okay.
I did. Well, Leona, but...
Leona.
That's where Hunter Hearst got his name.
Right.
So, what this guy did is
Is that related? I'm dead serious. Leona, is that related to, like, Patty Hearst? Like, that Hearst family?
Well, that's where the Hearst part came from.
Right.
Her name was just Leona Helmsley.
No, okay. So, was Leona, like, those Helmsley people related to Hearst at all? Or no? Or
I don't believe so.
Oh, so they just added those two
names? Yeah, it was just like, Vince McMahon wanted to make fun of his snooty neighbors in Greenwich, Connecticut. So he thought of like people who were seen as like socialites, like the Hearst family and then Leona Helmsley. And so then he just came up with the Hunter part. So they would have that alliteration. But yeah, there was no relation between the okay. Hearsts and the Helmsleys.
Gotcha.
Until they married and had a son named Hunter. But anyway, Anthony Hensley worked for a company, and the company's job was basically keep geese off of a property. It's like a property management type thing. And so he's out on a kayak in this pond in a residential area in Des Plaines, Illinois, near Chicago. It's like more like a pond for like one of those rich housing communities. And so he's trying to keep these geese out of the pond, or swans rather. Oh no, I'm completely wrong. They would provide swans to keep the geese away, but the swans had plans of their own. The swans are trying to take over, I think. Because even though they're there to just get rid of the geese, they got rid of Anthony Hensley.
Hmm.
The one of the swans charged Hensley's boat, capsizing it. So they knocked over their boat, knock him into the water. And according to Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart, who fake name. Who interviewed some witnesses, they say that Mr. Hensley tried to swim to shore, but eyewitnesses said the swan appeared to have actively blocked him. So this guy was basically murdered by a swan. The swan knocked over his boat, and as he tried to come out of the water, he held him down. Wow. So death number two is drowning by swan.
Okay.
Maybe that's what happened to Lacey Peterson. Maybe she was drowned by a swan.
A swan killed her. And Scott's been fucking...
Look, if you're on Scott Peterson's legal team, we're going to be your star witnesses.
The swan defense.
It's the swan defense.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with the Billy Corgan swan defense.
Right.
Death number three. Are you familiar with the movie Titanic?
I've heard of it.
It was a big movie in the 90s.
Yeah.
So I can tell you two people who did hear of the movie Titanic.
Billy Zane?
Yeah, he's in it. Mm. But I'm talking about two other people that weren't in the movie.
Okay.
I don't even think they weren't even born when the movie came out. Mine Dinar and Furkan Siftsi.
Wolf Blitzer?
He was alive when Titanic came out.
Oh, I thought you meant when the Titanic sank.
He may have been. So, this is Mine Dinar and Furkan Siftsi, 23 years old, both of them.
Fake name.
They're Turkish.
Okay.
And they were at the edge of the İzmit Marina Pier in the Turkish province of Kocaeli, K-O-C-A-E-L-A, Kocaeli, we'll say.
It just sounds Italian.
Italian, yeah. Whatever. They're in northwest
Someplace.
Turkey.
Yeah.
They're on a pier. And they've been drinking.
Okay.
They've been indulging in some spicy water.
All right.
And so they decide to stand up on the railing of the pier and recreate the King of the World pose. Furkan stands on the pier, the edge of the pier, and says, "I'm the King of the World." And then he slips and falls into the water and drowns.
Holy shit.
No longer the King of the World.
No.
So that's death number three. So to recap, death number one is you're going cliff diving.
Right.
But as I don't know who it was. There was a comedian who said once, I remember watching this probably sometime in the 90s, there's two ranks in cliff diving. Grand champion and stuff on a rock.
Pretty funny.
It is. Well, he wasn't, this first guy wasn't quite stuff on a rock because he fell in the water and drowned after being knocked out from hitting the rock. So that's death number one, the cliff diver. Death number two is the guy who was drowned by a swan, murdered by a swan. Death number three is the guy who thought he was the king of the world but wound up falling off the pier and drowning. So I ask you, Jackson Wells, who died the worst?
This is easy for me. Number two.
Swan murderer.
Swan murderer, swan just murdered. Because it's the most fucking embarrassing.
Yeah. Not only were you were what happened to your brother? He was murdered by a swan.
He was murdered by a swan.
No, what really happened to him? Come on. You gotta have a better story than that. Like, just tell me he got drunk and pretended to be Leo in Titanic.
No, he was murdered by a swan. We're murdered by a swan.
Yeah. Okay, that is I agree. That's
imagine if the swan just like shit talked him the whole time. Yeah. Get up, pussy.
What's the matter? Can't swim?
Huh?
Think I'm here for geese? I'm here for you, motherfucker!
Bitch!
Fuck. Never trust a swan.
All right.
So that'll about do it for our show this week. Yeah, so thank you for listening.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I always want to thank you. If you enjoyed the show, tell somebody about it. That would be nice of you to do. A 5-star review, a positive review where you're listening to us, whether it's Apple, whether it's Spotify, whether it's Podcast Alley.
I've never heard of that one.
Whether it's...
Is that real?
Probably. I know there's Podcast Addict. That's what I use on my
phone. Remember. I used to watch that show with Mario Cantone back in the
80s. Steampipe Alley. Oh. Yeah. I used to watch Steampunk Alley. It was the same thing, but they wore cool hats and glasses.
Yeah.
There were a lot of dials everywhere.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's our show.
That is it.
And I'm not sure what we're going to be doing 2 weeks from now, but we'll make
it good.
We'll
have something.
But thank you again. Tell somebody.
I will.
Give us a positive review.
I will. We'll try.
Wherever you find us, a positive review helps. And we will see you next time with more murder.
My dude.
Doe, a deer, a tactical deer. He just nuked the swans. We're all safe. I can't stop the show! I can't stop it! The swans are taking over!